pastors around the world. Amen. In my military days, and I'd have up down one like this one. Amen. And all of her problems, she stilled. Isn't it amazing how God's providence and blessing, after all that has been degraded about it, still there is enough left to show forth the handiwork of God. We could preach a lot of things today, but the Lord kind of hasn't led me on the political side too much. Amen. But He led me in a slightly different direction. And people ask me, are you a political preacher? I said, a preacher that don't preach about the politics of the day ain't worth the salt goes in their bread. Amen. Yeah, I don't care what anybody said, these liberals or whoever else they are. Thomas Jefferson's, the only time you find the term separation of church, wall of separation, was in Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Baptists that had written to him. And they wrote to him concerned that the government would interfere with the church. By the way, the reason of this country's existence and founding was that government's interference with the church had caused them to come and move and settle and start this country, that government would not interfere with the church. But never was it set up so that the church could not have an influence upon the government. Amen. So the wall of separation is a one-way wall that only works one way. It keeps the government, was designed to keep the government out of the church. Amen. Not the church out of the government's affairs, because the church make up what is called we the people. Hello. Amen. So, brother, let me just quote a famous president when it comes to the Constitution and lawyers. President Ronald Reagan said, "The common man understands the Constitution. It takes a lawyer to file it up." I think Ronald Reagan was right. Amen. So, I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians, amen, chapter 15 this morning. Amen. I appreciate all the prayers for the wife. Amen. She's a little, I think she's got a bit of anxiety today. And she got out the first time in about 2 weeks and went to the doctor on Friday. And she made it through all that. She was dreading it, something fierce. And, you know, that little place at home is kind of a comfortable little nest to get in. And you got to get drug out of that. Well, it kind of puts a little bit of anxiety at work. But the Lord has blessed her, and the doctors seem to think that she is progressing beyond what of their expectations. So I'm thoroughly thrilled that God has ministered as He has. Amen. And yeah, she's had two nurses looking after her, and my two girls, and they not only nurses, but that little one will give her pep talk along the way. The oldest one, she kind of don't lays off the pep talks, but the youngest one, she'll just go ahead and tell her mama kind of like she thinks. So, nevertheless, so far, Daddy hadn't had to play referee. Amen. So, anyway, I'm thrilled that God has done what He's done, and I'm looking forward to her having full recovery. She has had wonderful results. Her sugar has, her diabetes has come well under control, much better than it's been in many, many, many years. So, having a refreshed heart undoubtedly has done something, some good, and by the help of the Lord, God has ministered to her in multiple ways. And I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Good to have Granny with us this morning. Amen. And brother, just good to have. Amen. I picked on that little fellow one time. I like his smile. Amen. And he likes my little mouth noises. Amen. You know, we all babies at heart. Some of us just don't never grow up. So I think it's almost a crime to have to grow up sometimes. Amen. That right, Brother Tony? Amen. But we ought to have a little bit of that young and left to us all the way through life. He just takes all the fun out if you don't. Amen. But thank God the children teach us how to live. They know how to live. Amen. Sometimes we adults, we forget about that. We kind of get lost in the weeds. So I think we ought to remember how to live. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. The Word of God says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." You'll pardon me just a minute, Brother Joseph, I'm going to turn this mic down just a little bit. I sound rather loud to myself. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Thank God. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you, sir, that you have provided for us, God, things that we can't even begin to describe in words. Lord, you have made available unto us riches that are beyond measure and beyond value of man's ability. Thank you, sir, that you have made available unto us life, and that more abundantly. You've given us everlasting life in Jesus Christ. You've given us real liberty. Liberty to be free from sin. Not, God, free to sin, but free from the clutches of sin, that we might no longer serve sin, but that we might serve a living God. Sir, thank you that you have given us hope. You have given us a blessed hope and the blessed assurance that we have that we are in you by the giving us of your Spirit. May your will be done. May we be, sir, steadfast of a truth, unmovable. May we set forth, God, a reality of who Christ is, what He is, to a world that is lost, and that we may, God, be living witnesses and testimonies, a living sacrifice unto you, and that you may have the glory and men and women may be drawn unto you. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Give you the praise. And everybody said amen. For just a little while this morning, amen, be ye steadfast. Amen. When Brother Joe looks at a world, amen, and the world that we're living in, and not only when I look at it as a whole, amen, something that strikes me, amen, and that startles me very much, is how unsteadfast the church is. Come on, I'm going to say that again. How unsteadfast, or if you will, let me just look at, in the Thompson chain, a Bible, if you look at, there's a topical chain that is in that Bible, and most topics are the types and the antitypes. Amen. Or the word, the subject, and the opposite of that. So in the Thompson chain, there is steadfastness and instability. Amen. How unstable, amen, the modern day church is. Amen. What do you mean by that, Brother Joe? Just take a look. Amen. The church is evolving. Understand something with Brother Joe. The church is not, the only evolving the church is supposed to do is toward Christ. Hello? I'm going to say that again. The only evolving that the church is supposed to do is to become more godly. Amen. But Brother Joe hates to tell you this, but a great deal of the professing church is becoming more ungodly. Amen. The involvement is away from God. Amen. God wants us to be steadfast. Amen. Unmovable. I can tell you, God has not given us a word of God, His word that is a word that is changing, but the word of God, the word in the Bible itself that describes the word of God is word immutable. Amen. Immutable. Amen. What does that mean, Brother Joe? Unchangeable. Unchanging. Amen. We have folks every day trying to find some new scroll or trying to look something else up so that they can find a way to make another change in the Word of God. Amen. And by the way, let Brother Joe just go ahead and tell you most of those changes are not, amen, for the better, but for the worse. Amen. Most modern, amen, translations, if you want to call them that, most of them are not translations. Brother Joe hates to break the news to you. Most of them are interpretations. Amen. Though in the NIV, they use the term transliteration. Amen. That's simply a fancy word that says it's their interpretation of what the Bible should say. Amen. Come on, Brother Joe. I don't want somebody's interpretation. I want the Word of a living God. Amen. I want the pure vanilla. Amen. Because you see, amen, God's going to judge me by that Word of God. Amen. If you want a roadmap, do you want the one that somebody's saying, I don't really think it's this way, but I think you ought to drive like this? Amen. No, I want the one that shows me the way to get where I'm going. Hello? I don't want it tampered with. I want no deviations in it. I don't want no divisiveness in it. I want one that just says, this is the way. Amen. Walk ye in it. Amen. That's what I'm after. Amen. So steadfastness. Amen. If you want to grow in God, amen. Ask God. Amen. We're gonna have to be steadfast. Amen. If we want to advance in God, amen, we're gonna have to be steadfast. You know why? Amen. So many Christians' lives start out in to look like they're gonna go somewhere and never wind up there. But why, Brother Joe? Because they didn't remain steadfast. Amen. Somewhere along the way, they dawdled here and there. They turned back. They slowed down. Amen. They changed their mind back and forth. Amen. And so what happens? Amen. They never arrive at the place where they could have been if they had just remained steadfast. Amen. The race is not to the swift, but it is to the steadfast. I'm going to say that again. The race is not to the swift. Amen. We've been all told that little story about the tortoise and the hare. Amen. One thing about that old turtle. He wasn't fast, but he's steadfast. Amen. He just plods on. Amen. Give me somebody, amen, that's steadfast. Amen. That are going to be the same. Amen. Yesterday and today. Amen. They're going to love God. Amen. Tomorrow the storms may come, the winds may blow, but they're still going to love God. Amen. They're still going to plow on. Amen. Come on. We live in a church world that goes by their feelings a whole lot rather than by what God said. Amen. Rather than by sin. Simply being in love with God. Amen. If I go by feelings, amen, I can tell you my life is going to become highly unstable. Amen. I can tell you, if I go by emotions, my life's going to be one big roller coaster. Amen. But if I'll go by Jesus, amen, my life will be a steadfast life. Amen. Don't matter which way the winds are blowing. It don't matter if it's raining or it's sunshine. Amen. My life will be a walk that is steadfast on. You know what's wrong with our nation? Amen. She's moved from her steadfastness. Amen. That's why we have a lot of the junk that we have going on. Instead of remaining steadfast in the teachings and the poundings of the nation, amen, Finn sought to find them a better way or some other deviation. And in so doing, they have corrupted, amen, what was pure and right. Amen. Come on. In the moment that we begin to allow that second voice, amen, the enemy to come and have a headway and begin to give into that thought line, we give the enemy a chance to corrupt what God's doing. Amen. Come on with Brother Joe. The enemy does it. Well, he's not worried about your welfare. Amen. What he's worried about is having company in hell. Hey, you hear me? I said, that's what he's after. You know, I was always told, misery loves company. Amen. Now, believe you me, misery does love company. Amen. When a person's miserable, they want everybody they can find in the same big old misery pile that they're in. Amen. You let somebody get miserable in the church, amen, and go to moaning and groaning, they want to find everybody they can to bend their ear and get them to go and say, yeah, you're right, you poor thing, you. Amen. And just get right on in that puddle with them. Amen. I've had folks that said they wanted counsel, and all they wanted was you to agree with them that they was right in their mud hole. Brother Joe ain't going to do that. Amen. I said, Brother Joe ain't going to do that. I heard Brother Clendenin say years ago, amen, he done most of his counseling from the pulpit. He said, I'm meaning the junkyard dog in the pulpit. Amen. What did he mean by that? He said, I'm simply going to go by the Word of God. He said, I get in the room somewhere and I might get to feeling pity and I might decide to agree with somebody in something that ain't right. Come on. Amen. Come on, Brother Joe. I can tell you the best counsel that you can have. If you get on your knees and talk to the counselor, amen, you'll get the best counsel you ever had. Amen. And when he tells you something, you can carry it to the bank. Amen. Hallelujah. So in this passage, the Apostle Paul he's showing them what has been left the church. Amen. And the promises that the church has. I'm telling you that of all the people in the world that ought to be, amen, rejoicing, that ought to be, amen, their hearts ought to be full, it's them that belong to God. Amen. Come on. Of all the people that are in the world that ought to be gracious and filled with gratitude, it ought to be the church of the living God. Amen. Why? Look what He has left us. Amen. Look at the promises of God. The Apostle Paul said, I show you a mystery. Amen. Come on. He said, we shall not all sleep. In that, he's saying that some folks are going to be taken alive. Amen. In the rapture. Come on. Amen. There's going to be many that are going to sleep in Christ. Amen. But there's going to be some that are not. Amen. But he said one thing. But we shall all be changed. Amen. Amen. Come on with Brother Job. Amen. And Brother Job believes that change involves at least two changes. Amen. Amen. First of all, in order to be eligible for that, I have to have had the birth change. Amen. That means I have to be born again from above. Amen. If I hadn't had the birth change, the second one does not apply. Come on. Amen. If I hadn't had that birth change, amen, that last change is not going to be a good thing. It's going to leave me forever. Amen. In the dregs of eternity. Amen. Mortal. Amen. And filled with all the vices of hell. And I'll have to stand at a great white throne judgment. Amen. While God plays back every chance I had. Amen. To be born again and to be changed. Oh, hallelujah. You see, I don't rejoice as one who has no hope. I nor sorrow as one who has no hope. I rejoice as one who has the blessed hope this morning. Amen. Hey, I could have preached, amen, out of that passage, an old song that says, amen, that I've been changed. I've been newborn. Or I could have preached on that one that said, amen, I have had my change with God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm persuaded. Amen. Glory to God. I'm convinced. Amen. That I have been redeemed. Amen. By the blood. Amen. I could have sung that song that said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that old movement that Brother John, amen, Brother General, whatever his name was, I'll get him in a minute. Amen. Onward Christian soldiers was their anthem, marching as to war. With the blood of Jesus going on before. My. Amen. Where is that church at today? Amen. Come on with Brother Joe. Amen. Stand fast. Amen. The wind might have changed direction somewhere in the world. Amen. But the church, amen, is still hearing the same voice. Amen. The music might have changed down here. Amen. But the word, amen, that drum beat from heaven is still the same. Amen. Oh, come on. Men may have thought they found the better way. Amen. But the way still sits at the right hand of the throne of majesty. And He still says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Hallelujah. I can tell you the world can change. This church world can change. Amen. But I'm going to follow Jesus. Hello. Amen. And let me tell you something. When the dust settles, amen, everybody been following everything else going to wind up lost. Amen. Their eternity a mess. Amen. But to them that have been listening to that still small voice and been following the leadership, amen, of God's Holy Ghost, amen, going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Amen. We just celebrated 200 and something years. Amen. Of a nation. Independence. Amen. And in that 200 and something years, there's been a lot of change. Come on. And Brother Joe hates to tell you this, but most of it's been for the worse. Amen. It would thrill me. Amen. What thrills me, what little bit of good change we get, amen, thrills my soul. Every little bit of it. Amen. Come on. We have left the reverence for God has been left in the ditch. Amen. Come on. Most people have no or little or no reverence for God whatsoever. Most of folks think that God is a figment of somebody's imagination. Amen. I want to tell you, talk about a confused person. Amen. That thinks that God does not exist. Come on with Brother Joe. I know that a haphazard church world, amen, has been part of the process of causing that mentality. Amen. Listen, that world's got the only God that they can, remnants of God they're going to see. They're going to see it in the church and that creation out there. Amen. If you read the book of Romans chapter 1. Amen. We said by that things which are seen, we can clearly see, amen, the pattern of Him that sits in the heavens. Come on. They are clearly made manifest. Amen. What's He saying? That the creation itself sets forth the glory. Divine handiwork of God, amen, shows forth that it's done by the divine Creator. Amen. Mind tell you, anybody that goes into the medical science, amen, and works in the medical science, they ought to have a divine revelation, amen, when that old psalmist writes and says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, amen. The more you study the intrinsicity of the human body, amen, how intrinsic and how gloriously it is made, amen, you have to understand that somebody much greater than us, amen, set things in motion, and from the clay and from the ground, amen, He made a being. Oh, come on with Brother Joe. I can believe that a lot better, amen, than some little simple-celled amoeba, amen, in a mud hole somewhere that turns into a complex being, amen, and turns into everything we see today. I'm telling you, that's not even faith. That's total insanity, amen. But I tell you what faith is, amen, I believe, amen, in a man, amen, glory to God. Come on, I like that song that he sung, I believe in a place called Calvary, and I believe, amen, in an old rugged cross, and I believe in a man, his name is Jesus, amen, glory to God, and I believe that one day, come on, Brother Joe, he's going to come again, and he's going to gather his elect, amen, until then, amen, I'm going to be steadfast by the help and the grace of God, until then, with joy, I'm going to carry on, until the day my eyes can put on that city, and I can see it real clear. Hallelujah. Amen. Stable. If we don't remain stable, how you ever get anywhere? The Bible is replete, amen, with rebukes of instability. Amen. Ephraim, he said, is like, amen, he said, in one place he said, he's like a dove, a confused dove, flying in circles. Amen. You know, if you fly in circles, you never get nowhere. Round and around. Ephraim, he said, being armed with bows in the day of battle, turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Being unstable limits God. Amen. You understand something? If you want to move on and have revival, you're going to have to be steadfast. Hey, come on, Brother Joe. Ain't nobody that has ever sought God. Well, amen. Let's just see what James has to say. Amen. If any man like plavate, let him ask of God that do give it liberally and upbraid him not. But he said, but lest let him have wisdom, brother. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For that not that man think if he's like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro. He said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. Come on. I'm talking about stable, steadfastness. Amen. Look at our church world today. Amen. They're constantly changing, trying to tell us that God somehow or another now has embracing every vestige of, amen, strange that you can come up with, that God somehow has embraced that. Somewhere along the line, somebody's terribly confused. Come on with me. Brother Joe ain't being mean. I'm being hateful. You know what people that go along with that are doing? They are furthering the cause of folks headed to hell. Come on. When you meet somebody going the wrong way and you know they're going the wrong way and you just agree with them, pat them on the back, you know what you're doing? You're helping them along their way to a destruction. Amen. Come on. God hates liars. God had no part with liars. Amen. You go along with somebody when they're going wrong, you're lying, and God ain't got no part with it. Well, Brother Joe, you may have to go to jail. That'll be all right. Amen. God knows how to deal with jail. And if God don't want you in jail, they ain't got enough folks to put you in jail. You hear me? But let me just, while I'm right there, amen, you know what? I'm in a Sunday school lesson. We're not careful. We got this American brand of Christianity business all mixed up. Somehow or another thinks that Jesus is the only one that had to suffer, and we shouldn't have to suffer a dime worth. Amen. But I love Jesus. Amen. And one day He's going to carry me to heaven. Amen. But I read in my Bible that He said, if you suffer with me, you shall also reign with me. Amen. Somewhere along the line, amen, I can tell you somebody's missed out. Amen. I can tell you the servant is not greater than his master. Steadfast. Brother Watchman Nee or Neil T. Shung, whichever, amen, Neil T. Shung was his name. Everybody, he preferred to be called Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee spent his last 20 years in a Chinese prison. Why did he spend it there, Brother Joe? Because in 1953, amen, when the communists took over China, amen, after World War II, amen, they said, this is the gospel that can be preached in your churches. No one under the age of 18 can set foot inside those doors. Amen. You will not preach, amen, any Pentecostal doctrine. Amen. Come on, Brother Clendenin preached in the, amen, a year or so before he died in Shenzhen, China, and he preached out of Acts chapter 2. He broke, amen, Chinese law. Amen. Preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Said, I've never had such a hungry people and such an anointing in all of my days to preach as I did that Sunday morning in Shenzhen, China. Amen. But they told Brother Nee, amen, you, this is the gospel. And Brother Nee said there's only one gospel. And it's his gospel. It doesn't belong to the Chinese government. And the only gospel that I will preach is his gospel and no other. For such, amen, he spent his last 20 years in a Chinese prison. Amen. But I want to tell you a little secret. He's steadfast. He ain't moved. The world threatened him. Amen. Come on with Brother Joe. Amen. But I can tell you what. He remains steadfast unto the end. Amen. I read in his biography and wept as I read it. Amen. He was singing a song the night before they whipped Brother Nee and beat him till his ribs were broke. Amen. And his lungs were bleeding. Amen. He can barely sing. Amen. Suddenly in the shadows next to his cell, amen, a voice says, Pastor Nee, amen, your song's troubling me. Amen. Why, son? If my song troubling you, sounds like that you're getting ready to leave us. Amen. He said, why does that trouble you? He said, Pastor Nee, we need you. Pastor, Brother Nee said back to him, son, if that's what you believe, I've been a failure. You don't need me. You need Jesus, son. Amen. My. Even unto the end, he's steadfast. He ain't moved. He knows, amen, whose he is. Oh, come on with Brother Joe. He wrote that final letter. He wrote it to his sister. Amen. The Chinese have two names. They have a childhood name and an adult name. He signed that letter with his childhood name. He's fixing to leave this world. He knows it. Amen. But he's going to a better one. Why? He's been steadfast. He ain't moved. Amen. The world is threatened, but they can't do nothing with him. Come on with Brother Joe. Amen. They put him in dens. They lived in caves. Amen. They sawed him in half and hollow logs. Amen. But the world wasn't fit for him. You hear me? Woo! I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Amen. Listen. Amen. The great historian, amen, Jewish historian tells us, amen, that they put old Isaiah in that hollow log, sawed him in half. I want to tell you something, but they couldn't dim the revelation that he had. Amen. The year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Amen. That's his uncle. Amen. His reason for living could have been gone, but he went up to the house of God. That uncle's gone, but God's not. He's still there. He's still speaking. Amen. Glory to God. The power of God's still moving. Amen. The doorposts are just shaking at the sound of his voice. Amen. And Isaiah gets under deep conviction and says, oh, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And behind, tell you, the Lord speaks. That angel goes and takes that tongue and pulls that coal off the altar and touches his lips. Said, your lips have been purged. Amen to God. And suddenly, Isaiah hears a voice that says, who shall we send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here, my Lord, send me. Woo! Hallelujah! God says, go. For hearing they'll hear not, and seeing they'll see not. But you go anyway. Come on. I can tell you, God hasn't given us an alternative. If you know how to make a crowd as you want, you quit and go home. God ain't never said that. Amen. He said, you preach on. Amen. I got a little down and out. Amen. It'd been a week or two or three or four, and I hadn't had somebody, amen, I thought had something happen to him while I was preaching on the street. I get to moaning and grabbing to God about it. And God said, look here, boy. Amen. I put the seed bag in your hand. You sow the seed. Don't you worry about it. Amen. I'll send the time. Amen. When it comes time to reap, I'll put the sickle in your hand. Amen. Until then, you be faithful. Don't you quit. Don't you cease. Don't you back off. You be steadfast. Amen. You see, when we go to getting unsteadfast, we give the place to the devil rather than to God. Well, the children of Israel gone into captivity. Amen. And I'm telling you, when folks go into captivity, people try to break them. These three boys, amen, their names according to their captors were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. And so they get tried right off the bat. Amen. Here they come in with that king's meat and the king's wine. Amen. They know fully well that all of those things that have been offered to them have been offered to idols. And God said, don't touch it. Amen. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not touch the king's meat or to drink the king's wine. Come on, Brother Joe. And they talked to that amen, to the king's chamber, the head of the wise men, and said, look here, you give us, amen, 10 days. Just give us pulse and water. Amen. Cereal, a little bit of cereal, a little grain, and some water. And yet for 10 days, you examine us. And if we're not better than the rest, we'll eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. Come on. What are you talking about, Brother Joe? Some steadfast boys. Hey, come on, some steadfast people. Amen. We may be over here in bondage, but we ain't changing. Amen. Our world may have changed, but we're not going to change. Come on, brother. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Everything may be different around us. Amen. But we're not going to join that crowd. Amen. We're going to stay where we are. Nah. Amen. Some, amen, look, the Word of God says some, amen, put their trust in horses and some in chariots. Amen. The Word of God said it under Hezekiah, we will trust in our God. They are fallen and we are risen up. Amen. So they remain steadfast after 10 days. Amen. Their wits are sharper. Amen. Their faith, their visage is, amen, is more pure. Their complexion is fair. Amen. More fair than their fellow men. Amen. That's not the only test that, amen, these little boys are going to have. Amen. Old Neb had him, I'm telling you, got him a dream, and he got all elevated up there, and he's going to rule the world and become God. Amen. And so he builds him a big old image down there in the valley. And he calls everybody, he puts everybody down there, and here he gets his musicians, and oh, they're going to have him a service. Hello? And now when you hear the sound of the harp, amen, the hackbutt and the flute and the harp and all of those, sackbutt, the flute and the harp, everybody fall on their face and worship the image. I'm sure old Neb just got a big smile on his face, and everybody, that whole valley is full of people kneeling. But he looks out there, and all of a sudden, there's a sore thumb in the middle of that. Three boys are standing up just as tall as they can stand. Amen. Come on. They come too late, old King did, to try to change them boys. Amen. They not near as afraid of Neb. They didn't have much reverence for Neb as they got for the one that's looking on everything. Amen. Come on. And so, I'm telling you, he said, look here, you bring them boys over here. Let me tell you something. Amen. Why ain't you bowing? Old King, we're not careful how we answer you. We don't even have to think about it. Amen. Isn't it something? Amen. I heard Brother David talk about many years ago. Amen. They waited for him to go to a big conference somewhere in the world, all to discuss about drinking wine, alcoholic beverage in the sacrament. He said, drove me halfway around the world to talk about some kind of mess like that. Amen. Come on. Isn't it strange how far people will go to try to bend the rules of God and live as close to the world or in the world as far as they can? Come on. Oh, King, we don't have to think about this. We know what the answer is. Hello? Amen. We're going to serve God. We're not bowing our knee to you or that image or any other image. Amen. He said, you heat that furnace 7 times hotter than it's wanting to be heated. Amen. We're going to make an example out of you. Come on. Come on. Listen. Amen. I can tell you the world will try to make an example out of you. That's all right. You just stand for God. Whatever God wants, He'll take care of. But God don't want you to, amen, perish. You won't perish. Come on. Martin Luther. Amen. Who was a scared young child, a scared young man. He's afraid of everything. Amen. But when he come to the knowledge of salvation by grace, he suddenly got over that fear. And now out of that, in the place of that fear, courage came. Brother Clendenin said, courage comes from being right. Oh, come on, my brother Joe. Amen. When you know you're right, and you know you're right with God, you talk about courage. Amen. I'm telling you, he nailed 95 theses. Amen. 95 statements of that church door didn't nail him to the inside, nailed him to the outside. Where everybody, I'll get back to the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a second. Amen. Where everybody that's passing by can see him, yeah, he got some attention. Amen. Oh, Rome got wind of it. Amen. And it had called him down to worms. Amen. To bend his doctrine. And there went Martin Luther, the scared young man. Amen. Down, who was scared no more. Amen. Stood at worms and delivered his thesis on salvation by grace. Amen. And he finished up with this statement. Here I stand. I can do nothing else. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to change. I'm going to stand right here. Amen. My. It was also heard of Martin Luther that he said, I live daily in the peril of the king and of the church. And if God's will that I die at their hands, I shall most certainly die at their hands. But he said, if it is not the will of God, then who shall slay me? Ah, come on. Amen. So they heated that furnace 7 times hotter. Many, many years ago, I watched a documentary, so-called documentary, amen, on ABC. And in that documentary, they tried to prove how that people could actually live in that heated up furnace, not die. It wasn't really that hot. They forgot to tell folks, amen, in the same scriptures that said they lived through that furnace, that the folks who threw them in, who were not weaklings, who were not frail old people, but were some of the king's strongest and mightiest men, died throwing them into that furnace. To get close enough to throw them in, it killed them. Come on. Something got it. Come on. Amen. But they tried to make out that it was... They also, in that same documentary, tried to make out that there wasn't enough water, amen, in that Red Sea to drown nobody. I said, well, glory to God, God created another miracle. He drowned it by, 6 inches of water there, they said. I said, well, in that case, God drowned Pharaoh and all of his army in 6 inches of water. Sounds like another miracle to Brother Joe. Hello? Isn't it amazing how far people will go to try to destroy God? Come on with me. But you can't do away with Him. Amen. You can do away with Him in your mind. But He said, if your heart condemn you not, what does that Word of God say? God is greater than your heart. You can't do away with Him. Amen. He's so big you can't go around Him. He's so high you can't go over Him. He's so low you can't go under Him. He's so wise you can't get past Him on either side. Amen. So you just got to go in at the door. That's the only way. So, they throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that burning fire furnace. Why? Because they wouldn't change. Amen. Yeah, being steadfast will cost you. You hear me? It'll cause you to be called a bigot. It'll cause you to be called all kind of names. You are narrow-minded. When they tell me that, you know what I tell? Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Amen. And come on. And few there be that go in thereout. But I said, let me tell you what the other side says. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto the amen destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The world is going there by the tons and by the droves. Multitudes are headed there at a headlong pace today. Amen. But I'm telling you, the only resistance against that is what God's got people that are staying steadfast and are marching against the tide of all the lies and all the hypocrisies. Come on, with Brother Joe. The only warning the world has got, amen, is God's people. I'm going to say it again. If there is not seen of people that are marching in the other direction, there is no warning against the tide of destruction that is awaiting men and women if they head down the wide gate. Ooh, Shandala. Behold, who will warn? Who will stand as an ensign? Behold, who will stand as a warning, saith the Lord, and mark well the path of destruction by marking the path of righteousness, saith the Lord. Behold, I say unto thee, if there is not an example of righteousness, then behold, wherefore does it mark the wicked, saith the Lord. I say unto thee, that the difference, and the difference between that world and the Lamb of God and the people of God sets forth the judgment. Behold, light reveals that which is wrong, saith the Lord. And men, because they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. But behold, if there is no light, saith the Lord, there is no witness and there is no warning. That the Holy Ghost has brought to me another story. I'm going to tell it right here. A vessel was a battleship. They were moving in through a harbor. It was kind of a foggy night. And they noticed some lights up ahead. And the pattern of the ocean and the rules, amen, said that certain vessels had to yield right away and move, amen, to let the other boat go by. Amen. So they sent out a signal on an open channel and said, they called it the unknown vessel. So this is battleship so and so. Amen. And you need to move to the starboard. Amen. To give leeway. We're coming through. Amen. No answer. And a few minutes later they gave the same command. You need to move. Answer finally came back. Amen. Starship so. Amen. Battleship so and so. Amen. This is the lighthouse. Woo! Come on. You the one got to move, Mr. Battleship. We're the lighthouse here you talking to. We're not going to move. Amen. We're here because we're sitting on the rocks. Amen. And if you don't turn, amen, you're going to be sitting on them with us and it's not going to be good. Amen. You know what the world's trying to get to do? They're trying to get the lighthouse to move. Come on. And Bible, come on, so God help us. I'm afraid that what's supposed to be the lighthouse in a lot of cases is moving. What's going to happen, Brother Joe? What Brother David Talbert preached many years ago? Shipwreck! Shipwreck. Shipwreck. Amen. I thought about it and I talked in Sunday school this morning about that man who stood in Presbyterian Church USA. Amen. He claimed he was a 40-something year old virgin. He was attracted to men. Amen. He wanted to remove that plank that folks who are attracted to the wrong, to the same sex, amen, need to get saved. Basically, what the plank said, it said they need, it's a sin. Come on. You know, some people said now they changed homosexuality now to the actual act. But you know what my Bible said? That man who looks on a woman or to lust after her, he said, uh-oh, come on. He didn't say the act. He said he's committed adultery already with her in his heart. So that they done got extra biblical there. Hello? What does that mean, Brother Joe? That means the out of the Bible. They done left it. You see, if you and I got the, amen, we harboring the wrong thoughts and we just continually festering that, you know what that says? That says we better get an altar and we better pray through or we're going to have major problems. Because you know what happens? If that stays long enough, amen, you know what it'll do? It's going to grow on roots. And you know what happens after it grows roots? It'll go to blooming. And then it goes to producing fruit. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So he wanted that plant removed because he said it made him feel bad. I said, hallelujah. I said, that Bible, amen, got a lot of things that makes folks who are sinning feel bad for a reason. God has given man a little thing called a conscience. Oh, conviction is the most wonderful thing that is known to man. Why? Because without conviction, God can never make me know I'm wrong. And if I never know I'm wrong, I can't repent and get it right. And I can't go to heaven. So when God makes me know I'm wrong, it is a blessing. It ain't a curse. Isn't it amazing? We got folks today who don't even want to know they've done anything wrong. They just want to wander headlong into hell and let nobody bother them. Well, Brother Joe, you would say, I want to tell you this lesson, probably go on the radio. That's all right. Amen. It's the truth. Amen. Come on with Brother Joe. Amen. No, it's in there for a reason, sir. If you still got the wrong tendencies, it says there's something still wrong in you. You know what? I know somebody. Come on, Brother Joe. Amen. Come on, the Apostle Paul said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And then he don't stop there. He says, and all things are of God. Also, he says, hey man, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. If we've been truly changed, he said, therefore, we are to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is not that I don't love, saith the Lord. For behold, true love is love's enough to care. Behold, it's not God's will that any should perish, saith the Lord. No matter who, no matter where, no matter where from, no matter what skin color or any other creed, saith the Lord. Behold, it is my will that all should come unto repentance. Therefore, my word will not change, saith the Lord, because it is sent. I say unto thee, the law has a purpose, and that purpose is to make sin exceeding sinful, that man may become under conviction and repent of sin and turn from his wicked ways and be changed by the power of God, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that folks now want to try to find a Bible that fits them rather than to be conformed to the Word of God? You understand what people are doing? The Word of God warns us and says that foolish people who do not understand the purpose and the reason for the Word of God, they wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. You tell me we ain't been living there for a long time. And I tell you, we have. Listen, and I want to tell you something else. Brother Joe's been a minister for a number of years, so I can talk about preachers. Preachers who comply with that, I've got a lot to answer for. And brother, you hear Brother John, Brother Joe's going to be a bold, make a bold statement right here. They're going to have gate trouble. You hear me? It is not the work of God to lead men astray. Listen, if I lead men opposite of God, then I am not his laborer. I am working against him. Jesus said, amen. Listen, he made it plain. He said, if they work against me, then they're not with me. If I work against God, I'm not with God. One of these days, Brother Joe is going to have to stand before the Lord. As is everybody else. Everybody going to stand there, just like that governor from Mississippi said. Going to stand there. And I'm going to have to answer for whatever I've said, whatever I've done. And if I went along with folks and seeing knowing that they were wrong and went along with them to try to just smooth things over, it ain't going to be well with Brother Joe. It's going to be bad. You see, one thing that my Bible says is that no liar... You read that in your Bible too? No liars. He's going to inhabit that city. Come on. No liars. Oh, Brother Joe, I told that lie for a good reason. They ain't no reason to tell no lie. You see, true love cares enough to tell the truth. Jesus called them to say, he called them Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. He called them vipers. He wasn't because he hated them. He is trying to get them to come to the knowledge they wrong. The reason he came and died, not to belittle them, but to save them. I was preaching on the street many years ago when I had a group of kids just cussing me. I mean, they were cussing me for everything in the book. And God said, I died. Jesus said to me in the moment they was doing it, I died for them. It broke my heart. I couldn't think anything bad about it. I felt sorry. I was there to reach them. Hello? They're the ones. Jesus said, it's not the well that need the physician. It's the sick. And when the folks go around telling people that are sick, they ain't sick. Come on. Something is wrong. You hear Brother Joe? Steadfast. The greatest witness to a world that is lost is a steadfast church. You can say whatever, when that time's come, let them go. We're going to remain the same. We're going to march on. We're going to obey God. You see, a lot of people say, well, if you don't change, you're just being stubborn. Well, my Bible said, and Peter saying, he called Jesus, amen, the author and the finisher of our faith. He also called him the blessed anchor of the soul, both sure. word sure, boy, that word thrills me. He's sure. He's not going away. And when trouble comes, you can surely trust Him and find Him. He'll be right there. And He's steadfast. Thank God Jesus is steadfast. If Jesus was like, amen, this worldly church, when trouble comes, you couldn't find Him to save your life. But because He's steadfast, and I'm anchored to Him, when trouble comes, He's right there. Hallelujah. I said, when trouble comes, He's right there. Hallelujah. Well, I want to tell you something. When trouble comes, ain't nobody I'd rather have with me than Him. When the sun's shining, there ain't nobody I'd rather have with me than Him. Amen. Be ye steadfast. The next word was unmovable. And I understand that there's people who try to be steadfast in corruption. But the Bible is not talking about that. The Bible is talking about being steadfast in Christ and not moving from that place. No matter what attractions come, no matter what threats may come, don't be moved. You be steadfast. Unmovable. Then it said, but because you're having to fight and be battling and be steadfast, no, he said, don't quit being productive. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't change loving people because they're hateful to you. Don't change, amen, your attitude with people because they mean to you, because they talk about you. You just abound in the work of the Lord. Because you know, if we know God, we know His Word, we know that our labor is not in vain in Him. Father, this morning I thank You. Lord, in this hour, in this time, in this nation where we celebrate, sir, independence, God, let us once again, the people of God, be independent from sin and dependent upon a holy God. For the only way to be independent from sin is to be dependent upon You, to trust in You, to believe in You, to hold fast unto You. May, sir, we be steadfast. May we be unmovable. May we be, God, a committed people. May we be a people that have only one thing that we set to do, and that is to please You, to walk with You, and to pursue You. In the name of Jesus this morning, let's just come and close in an altar. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God, amen, that there is a stable Christ. Amen. He's not moved. He hasn't changed. Thank God. I'm glad God hadn't changed. Because if God changes and changes His mind about salvation, then I don't know where hope can be found this morning. I have no idea where we're going to find any hope. But because He's steadfast, amen, I have hope this morning.